Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 29th day of July, 2021. I'm always thrilled to have back on the program one of my former pastors. He was my most recent former pastor on Long Island, New York, at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, where he served as a pastor for a number of years. He has now accepted a call to White House, Tennessee, and is the new pastor of Sovereign Grace Church in White House. And today we are going to be addressing the pulpit is no place for cowards, fearing God more than men, and leaving church growth to God according to the truth of His Word. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and for the first time as pastor of Sovereign Grace Church in White House, Tennessee, Mark Grimaldi.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here, as always. Appreciate that.
That's my pleasure, brother. Always great having you on. And how many years were you the pastor at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island?
Yeah, I was pastoring at Grace for about 16 years.
16 years. Wow. That was longer than I even thought. In fact, I just got my invitation to the Goodbye and Good Riddance Mark Grimaldi party that they're having over there. I'm like, I know that was a great loss for the brethren there. But tell us about this new church, Sovereign Grace Church in White House, Tennessee.
Yes, Sovereign Grace Church. It says White House there on the website, too, but it's actually called Greenbrier, really, as the town is Greenbrier. It's right next to White House, but for some reason, sometimes they associate it with White House. But it is also a Reformed church. We're in the process of embracing the 1689 as a church. It's a very young church plant. It was planted actually about three and a half years ago, but it's kind of taken somewhat of a new twist to it. So it's almost like a plant as well. It's a small work, and we're about 35 minutes north of Nashville, Tennessee. So we're in Middle Tennessee, up in the north there. And you can also, we're so new that we're actually redoing our website, but we have a page up, at least for now, at www.sovereigngracechurch.net, www.sovereigngracechurch.net. So we're young, but we're excited. We do have a good core group there, and we're praying that God will do some great things.
Praise God. We are discussing, I think, a very important subject today, because it really involves an issue that is plaguing the body of Christ, where you have cowards, or at the very least, pragmatists in the pulpits of many conservative evangelical churches, even those that would be theologically reformed, where the primary goal seems to be not to make waves, not to hurt people's feelings. A focus or a fear, I should say, of losing members, which would also mean subsequently losing finances. having the community at large express their disfavor towards these churches because of the speaking out on very controversial issues in favor of what God has to say rather than what man demands, or at least many on the left in society today are demanding of everyone. But when you ascend into a pulpit, obviously you have a concern for those who are sitting there listening to you, and those that may be listening to you in their homes via a recording or live streaming or however the case may be, people who are not even members of the church, but you're concerned about them, obviously. You're concerned about the souls of men. You not only want the saints discipled according to the biblical truths, but you also want the lost to come to Christ. But isn't it true that first and foremost, you really have an audience of one, being God?
Yeah, that has to be paramount to the mind of the person who's preaching when you're preparing texts, and that's one of the reasons why I like to preach through, books of the Bible systematically. I'm not saying that topical preaching is wrong. There's a place for it, and I'll do topical sermons as well at times, especially when there's something relevant going on in society and so on. But I think it's important to deal with the Word of God as God gives it to us. He's given us all the tools that we need, all the information that we need, and the motivation that we need right there in the Scriptures to know how to preach the Word of God and what to say and how to say it. And we get into trouble when we start trying to manipulate things to bring about results that we desire, not trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit and not trusting in the fact that God is the one that must give the increase. So you're 100% right, Chris. It's really important that when we get up in that pulpit, that we proclaim the Word of God as it stands, and we stay out of the way. We don't let our personalities or anything get in the way from that, or what we would like to see, or anything like that, the emotions of people, the times, the culture. The Word of God it crosses all boundaries, all cultures, and it's for all times, and our confidence has to be in the Word of God and not in the ploys of man to try to convince people to jump through the hoops that we'd like them to jump through.
And what would you say some of the primary things that far too many pastors are avoiding like the plague when it comes to their pulpits?
Yeah, well, in a lot of the liberal churches, obviously, they're not preaching anything that would offend. So when you're dealing with issues of repentance or even being specific about sins, sometimes you'll have preachers who are very general, or they'll say things like, that sin is not what's best for you, or just try to use language that's soft and not really representing sin or Scripture in the way that God, the way that God proclaims it in His Word. So that would be one thing, obviously, in the more liberal churches. But even in the Reformed churches, you see just more of a bending to the will of the culture with what's going on, as you were saying before, especially with left-leaning politics, just the incorporation of critical race theory and those kinds of things into Scripture. These philosophical views that are completely alien to the Scriptures and just distort everything and turn everything upside down, in order to try to appease people, in order to try to be sympathetic, but they're actually compromising the Word of God, and ultimately these truths do damage to the gospel itself.
And there is a disagreement even amongst very conservative Reformed churches that might be like-minded doctrinally, theologically, have the same confession of faith, perhaps. But there's a division over politics coming into the pulpit. Now, obviously, that is a big umbrella. There's all kinds of insanity that falls under the umbrella of introducing politics into the pulpit. you have actual specific promotion and exaltation of political candidates, sometimes presenting them to the public and to the congregation as if they are God-fearing Christians when they may just share some conservative and biblical views of morality, but they are far from Christ. But there are those pastors that avoid issues that they would claim are merely political and exclusively political, and therefore they don't want to involve them in their preaching. But these are issues that actually do not reside only in the arena of politics. These are things that involve violations of God's word and things that are important for the guidance of God's people in the 21st century. So where are you on that?
Yeah, I think Chris, I think you hit it well. There's a balance in the sense that we don't put forward specific politicians. There are certain things even in the political realm that are amoral, right, that are not really things that we may have different positions on them, but we don't have to address them from the pulpit. But there are definitely issues that are in the political realm that overlap the scriptures, and the scriptures are very clear when you're addressing things such as the sanctity of life. For example, I think it's important that we preach against abortion of every kind from the pulpit. I don't think that's a political thing. I think that's a moral issue, and that's very much in keeping with the scriptures. When we deal with issues of sexual orientation, the scriptures deal very clearly throughout the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6:9, Romans 1, Leviticus, and so on, about the issue of a man who is desirous of another man or a woman of another woman, and so on. We have to address those issues. And when we're dealing with issues now of this explosion of transgenderism and people, you know, being confused about what gender they are, that's not a political issue. That's very much a biblical issue, and it really is an affront upon God as the creator and the designer who has designed us for his glory. And it's so it, inevitably those kinds of views although a worldly and a secular mindset, but that would violate very clear teachings of scriptures and would go against God as the author of life. And so we have to address those things, because we have to address the reality of sin and repentance and what the gospel is all about. And the gospel is something that brings about the forgiveness of very specific sins, including such things as those. But it also is about bringing change in our lives, right? God his desire is not simply to just save us from the penalty of our sin, but also from the power of it. And so that requires a changed life. That's going to be part of sanctification, which means that those issues are things that we're going to have to deal with in our lives. And so if we ignore them, we're ignoring parts of what God requires for us in sanctification. So we do need to address those issues. And we also want to encourage people to see the importance of being involved in politics, right, to some extent. We live in a country where we have a right to vote. At least in theory, we have an effect on elections. I don't know exactly if that's been the case in this last election, really, but in theory we do, and we have the public that we need to vote on, and so we want to encourage people to get out there and to vote and to think about those principles that are in line with principles that are most in keeping with the scriptures. So yeah, I agree. I wouldn't think it's the best idea to think the other extreme, Chris, is what you were saying, is to put politicians in a place where they become almost saviors, and I think to some extent people have done this with our previous president, where some people in the political realm have just seen him virtually almost as a Christ, and if he didn't succeed, it would be like the end of the world, and you just, again, you're compromising scripture and the authority of Christ and God's sovereignty over all things. When we put any man in that position, especially one who's certainly we would not have seen him as being a born-again Christian, even though he had values that we might have shared in certain ways and so on. So you have both extremes there, but we do need to preach the truth and be faithful to God without creating idolatry of politicians and so on.
And before we go too much further in this discussion about cowardice, I think that we should also address an area that may even involve cowardice, but it doesn't appear that way in the surface, where you have pastors, perhaps even most prominently in fundamentalist circles, and this would be, I think, a minority in our Christian landscape today. I think the more prevalent sin is soft and light sermons that appeal to the lost, that salve the consciences of the lost. But you have these fire and brimstone sermons where the sins that might be prevalent in the congregation where these sermons are preached are avoided, and over and over and over again, sermons on homosexuality and sermons on drunkenness and sermons on drug addiction and sermons on open God-hating, and you could go on and on and on, immodest clothing. I'm not even saying, remember, that these are not important issues. But there can be a tendency by some churches to really avoid things that involve the preacher himself and his favorite members, things that might involve pride, things that might involve the sinful way where brethren treat one another. I mean, am I right on here that preachers have to be
very careful? You're 100%. I think that's the tendency, Chris. We all tend to lean on looking at some of the things, as you said, that we are speaking out against, especially as you said in the political realm, or things that are very, very obviously offensive in our culture. You know, to us, that our culture is doing wrong. We can. You know, go on about how Target has clothing that's emphasizing, you know, support for homosexuality and things like that. And it's true, we can become self-righteous and so focus on those sins that we lose sight of the great sins that are even in our own midst. And I think you're right, it's the issues of just a lack of love for one another, a lack of compassion, pride. Gossip is another big one as well, that's often overlooked in the church. We can look at those things as if they're not really a big deal and fail to examine ourselves, or maybe to eclipse what we're doing by looking at these other more evident outward things that we can see, such as, again, abortion, homosexuality. So again, without diminishing these other sins that are very prominent in our society, we don't want to become so consumed with addressing them that we become self-righteous, that we bolster ourselves up, we fail to consider our own sanctification and our own sins, and also that we fail to show a sense of compassion toward people who are even doing those things in the sense that we seek to bring the gospel to them. We could almost treat people who are doing these things in the world, who are committing these gross acts, as if they're beyond reach, as if their sin is greater than ours, and they have no welcoming into the kingdom of God, and we throw the law at them all day long, and we don't see the need to reach out to them with the gospel of grace, because we've almost become so dull to the gospel ourselves, not recognizing our own need for it, even in the present. So it's very important that we address our own in-house sins as well, the things that are not as common in the culture, let's say, that are there in the church, and deal with that, one, because God wants us to become more like Christ, but also so that we have a proper perspective to address those on the outside, continually remembering that they need the same gospel that we still need.
Now, you brought up something very important, and I think it bears repeating, that in a pastor's diligence not to be a coward, not to soft soap hard words, hard sayings, hard to swallow truths, compassion must be key. And is it not very important not to hobby horse on the wrath of God? To repeat something that I said earlier, I think that is a minority of, or that sin is in a minority, or that flaw in the pulpit is in the minority today. I think far too many churches avoid the wrath of God at all costs, at least in what they're saying, that is. They're not really avoiding the wrath of God, but they're avoiding discussing it, declaring it, warning about it. But that cannot be a hobby horse. Jesus didn't do that. The gospel is a glorious and precious thing. obviously, it's only good news, it's only glorious, it's only amazing in the backdrop of the horrendous and horrible and terrifying news of being damned and the reasons why you will be damned. But we can't just hobby horse on the bad news, can we?
Yeah, I would say we can't hobby horse on anything. You know, the tendency, especially when something's brought to light to us, when you're studying the word, or you know, something that you really, you know, you're very animated about that's going on in maybe in other churches or in the culture, and you if you're writing articles against it, it can be anything, can become a hobby horse, and you can just constantly focus on that one issue. And so that can happen with the wrath of God. You know, you can just constantly just be emphasizing the law and God's holiness, and those are important issues, but you can neglect to emphasize the issue of God's grace and showing compassion and bringing those two together. That's why, like as I said before, I think it's really important. Personally, I think it's very important to preach through, systematically through a book of the Bible as opposed to just doing topical. When you do topical preaching, if that's your regular style continually throughout the whole course of the ministry, you're leaving the decision up to what you're going to say as far as issues up to you, you know, and I'm not saying God can't use you in that way, and he does, but when it's completely like that, it becomes more under your control, and it's very easy for us to be susceptible to giving into things that really we're emotional about. So if I'm preaching through, you know, a book of, you know, the book of Timothy or something like that, and I go right through the whole book, I'm going to be addressing, you know, issues related to widows, and there's going to be things in there that I might never address out of my own, you know, in a topical sense that I might not even think of, but I have to address it when I'm going through a book. And that, I think that's just a real good safeguard to make sure that we're preaching, you know, we have a well-balanced preaching ministry, as Paul says in Acts 20. He proclaimed, he didn't shun to declare the whole truth of the Word of God. But I do think that as we do that, of course, that we have to maintain a Christ-centered pulpit. You know, everything has to be brought into as well as you open up these texts into the context of the history of redemption, of the cross being the center of all things. In other words, it has to be weaved together in such a way that it's within its redemptive context, as well as addressing the individual aspects of whatever the text is revealing.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody has a question that they'd like to ask, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Grimaldi and our subject today, The Pulpit is No Place for Cowards, right after these messages from our sponsors.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is supreme over all. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardenville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today is Pastor Mark Romaldi of Sovereign Grace Church. And although it is commonly identified as being located in White House, Tennessee, the actual location is Greenbrier, Tennessee, right?
Yes.
And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, our topic today is the pulpit is no place for cowards, fearing God more than men, and leaving church growth to God according to the truth of his word. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And one thing that probably should be addressed, although, as I said, with other matters, this is probably not the most common flaw in the church today, in the pulpit today, but should not a pastor try to avoid constantly, without taking a breath, shouting at his congregation? Now, I love when a pastor raises his voice. I love a thundering pulpit. I know Charles Spurgeon did. And many of my great heroes of the faith who I have heard their recordings. Some of them are still alive, some not, but they were at least living in a day when you could hear them on recording. Most of my favorite preachers of all time do thunder their voice in appropriate places in their sermons. And one stunning example, someone that I know you are, a person of whom you are fully aware and admire, my friend Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kobwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, who is actually, folks, mark your calendars down. We may have announced a different date previously because he recently changed the date when he is going to be the next Iron Sharpens Iron Pastor's Luncheon speaker here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That will be on Monday, September 27th, and he is preaching at all the services the previous day on Sunday, September 26th, at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. But he is one that thunders his voice, but it's not a constant thunder. Even that becomes banal. It becomes like background noise after a while if there is no break in that loud, booming voice where congregants may just feel like they're being scolded nonstop for the entirety of time the man is behind the pulpit. Isn't that, as far as homiletics, isn't that something that the pastors have to be careful about?
Yeah, Chris, and I think that's an area too that over my 16 years of ministry plus now that I've learned to grow in myself. I think there was especially earlier on, I would, there was almost a monotonous, just fast-paced and just very loud sense to my preaching, and I think over time.
By the way, brother, sorry to interrupt, but could you not take your face away from whatever mouthpiece you're using? Because
let me make sure I'm close here.
Yeah, because sometimes you have a tendency to get so distant I can't understand you.
So I was saying that I've grown in that area myself, in learning just to there are places, and it's not like you sit there and you plan, when you're in your sermon notes, you say, okay, at this point, I'm going to go to a crescendo. It's definitely when somebody's preaching faithfully, I believe it's something that hopefully is the Holy Spirit driven, but it's the text itself moves you. It's something that excites you. But if you just do that nonstop, it will become like background noise. Also, the people will feel like they're just being whipped. So it really is something that should be controlled. I love the example you gave of Conrad Mbewe, because if you listen to his sermons, and I used to love listening to his sermons, he's just a real good brother and just a good, and when you meet him in person, he's the real deal. He's just a good brother, humble brother with a big heart. But you have to, when you listen to his sermons, you almost have to keep your hand on the volume knob, because there are times when he goes so low that you can hardly hear him, and you have to kind of louden it because he's just talking very low. And then there's times when he gets fired up and then you lower a little bit. So he's a good example of someone who really has a good balance, as you said. But you do want to be careful that, when we're preaching, we don't just, every single sentence, we're working through the narrative or whatever it is, the text, and we have the same tone and decibel that we would, let's say, when we're going through an application or we're excited about something that's coming out and a point that we're making. It's important to monitor that, Chris. I think that's a good discipline, and I think that's an area where I myself can say that I've had to grow in, and I'm probably still learning, along the way as well.
Yes, and I think that we may have gotten through most of the areas that are prevalent in a minority of churches in our day. In our day and age, overdoing the wrath of God and yelling at people from the pulpit and not presenting enough of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God, they are not the dominant sin globally in the evangelical church at large. They are not the or should I say, flaw. Some might consider it a sin to be abusing those areas.
Yeah, but they're worth noting, definitely, like you said. And as you're saying that, I was just reminded, Christian, if I go back and pull out my notes from sermons in the past, when I was wrestling through what you were just saying about just about tone and about not constantly raising your voice, I could pull out sermons where at the top of the page I put in parentheses, "Be gracious" or "Be calm," to actually remind myself to not let myself get so excited that I lack the self control that's needed to make sure that I'm not hindering the message by just overdoing it and kind of putting the whole sermon out there like a car without a muffler, it's just real loud and It is one of the minor issues, but it's good that you brought those things up.
Now, on the flip side of the coin, another thing that may be prevalent in the Church of God, in the Reformed community, and I don't know if this would actually fall under the category that we are really emphasizing today about avoiding cowardice at all costs, but just because I brought up the abuse of loudness, one thing that troubles me is when I am in Reformed churches and I have the feeling, I know that we're not supposed to use that term too often as Reformed Christians, feeling, but that actually goes hand in hand with what I'm going to say. I have the feeling that I am in a seminary class. I'm sure there are many fascinating and captivating professors in seminaries. But what I am speaking of is a pastor that habitually and perhaps exclusively lectures. There is no passion in him. There is no sense of gravity and urgency in his warnings. He is basically explaining in a pleasant voice, in an articulate manner, truths of the scripture. And some might even do it for the reason, I think, that is dabbling in the waters of hyper-Calvinism, that they want to avoid manipulating the emotions of the hearer through their own passion and excitement and so on. Now, obviously, that is a problem does exist in the pulpit where people do manipulate emotion with music and things like during an altar call, all that kind of thing. But just because of the fact that we mentioned loudness, and I know there are churches that definitely prefer this, and I know I'm probably upsetting some people that are listening, but it annoys me. I could not be in a church that habitually had that manner of presenting the gospel.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes when you're, and this is one of the things I think in the pastor's private study where they have to exercise caution. You know, what we obviously there's a lot of things the pastor's going to study. You know, about let's say about geography and all different aspects of maybe language study and things like that, and getting into some of the deeper realms of theology. But when you bring things to the pulpit, you don't want to bring all of that into the pulpit. Part of the role of the pastor is to be able to chew the meat down to some extent before you give it to the congregation. You don't want to give them everything. If you're teaching a class in a seminary or in a college, you know, there's a place for that. But I agree, Chris, you know, sometimes we can, and there could be, I don't want to be accusatory in this, but there could be the danger of pride, like you want to inform people of how much you know and how extensive, you know, your reach of theological truths are and so on. So we have to present things in a way that a child can understand it. And I'm not saying I've perfected that, but really that it should be something that all of the age gaps, all of the different, you know, you're shooting for something in a, I'm not saying you speak like you're speaking to a toddler, but you're shooting something in a range that can be effectually heard and received by the average person in the pew, by the farmer as well as the intellect. You know, I don't want to say farmers, but I got to be careful not intellect, but by the person who is blue collar, white collar, you want to hit everybody. I think part of what helps with that too, Chris, this is another thing I've come to see as well. When you read like the Puritans and some of the old literature, I've noticed that, you know, it's important to read those kinds of books, but we need to be careful that we don't inherit the language that's used in those books. It's very easy to be influenced in that, and not even it could be very subconscious. You could just be reading those books so much of the ancient literature that you start talking in that way. And we got to recognize that vocabulary has changed. You know, we can't see people as being, you know, not intellectual or you know, because they don't understand those things in that language and they have to come up to that level and, you know, and start blaming the congregation. We're responsible to present these truths from the Word of God as they stand, but to explain them in a way that communicates well to the people of our day, to the, you know, the common language of our people. So we need to be careful with that, I think, with getting too far into intellectualism and just, as you said, I think the lack of passion, that's important too. If you're just going over things and kind of, you know, like you're teaching a seminary class, you're going to bore people with the truth. And the gospel should be something that's exciting. It should move you. I mean, you look at the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, for example. I'm working through the book of Ephesians right now here. And in chapter 1, you know, Paul was no ignorant man. He was no unschooled person. He was a scholar. And yet when you look at the way he wrote even the Greek in chapter 1, he violated the laws of grammar constantly. I mean, it was a run-on sentence there, and you can see that there's just an excitement about what he's saying, that he's not binding himself even to the basic rules of, you know, of literary grammar and stuff, because it's really controlling him. He's shooting it all out there and just expressing his heart. And so we want to make sure that we have that sense where we're excited about the gospel. You know, it's not just a literary exercise where we're getting up there lecturing. You're handling the Word of God, and you're preaching. You're not teaching, you're preaching that Word. You're proclaiming it. Who was it that said, Martin Lloyd-Jones, right, said that preaching is theology on fire. You know, it's coming, you're proclaiming that truth with authority, the authority of God and with power. So I agree with you on that.
We have to go to our midway break now, folks. It is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because the FCC requires of them to geographically, what's the word I'm looking for, localize all of their programmers, all of their programming to Lake City, Florida. And Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is no exception. So while they air their own public service announcements and other local things in the middle of the show, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can, provided by as many of our advertisers as you possibly can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. I hope that very often that includes purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches, and supporting their parachurch organizations. But when you cannot do any of those things, please, at the very least, respond to the advertisements by telling the sponsors, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Tell them how much this program means to you, if indeed you love the show. That will go a long way in helping to keep our advertisers happy, because they will know their money is being spent in a way that is blessing many in the body of Christ. So when you can't spend money with whatever our advertisers are supporting, at least thank them. Also use this time to send in questions about our theme today, The Pulpit is No Place for Cowards, with our guest, Pastor Mark Grimaldi of the Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back. Chris, I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you're not owing me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Holland 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, So don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucoux demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a vital sponsor of this program. If they were to come to the point where they were no longer advertising with us, we may very likely have to go off the air, because their financial support is that crucial to us. So therefore, please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Keep in mind, you're not going to just be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not just going to be doing us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping our very important advertiser happy. You're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts at solid-ground-books.com a favor of incalculable value, because they publish and bring back into print nothing but the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present, dating all the way back to the Protestant Reformation and coming all the way forward to such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today, make as many purchases as possible, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Mark Grimaldi of Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, on our discussion today, "The Pulpit is No Place for Cowards," we have some important announcements to make. And I hope you will listen carefully as we make them. First of all, thank all of you. I thank all of you from the very depths of my heart for your ongoing prayers for my oldest brother, John, 76 years old, now in a skilled nursing facility in Denton, Texas. I got the sad news day before yesterday from my brother that the most recent conversation with his doctor, where he said that he wanted the doctor to be nothing but honest when he gave his prognosis. Apparently, according to the doctor, my brother has at best 6 months to live, especially because of the emphysema that he is battling. And I was very comforted when I told my brother to turn to Christ and only Christ as his only hope of salvation, to trust in his finished work on the cross as his only way into eternity with Christ. He responded in these words, "I pray the three prayers I know, Chris, plus have a short talk with God, ask his forgiveness of my sins, admit my frailties to him, and dedicate my day and night to him every morning. I ask him if today is the day he takes me to take me into his arms and into his kingdom so that I can worship him in wondrous glory for eternity. I do that above every day." So I am so thankful to God to hear a response like that from my brother. Pray that the Lord gives him deeper knowledge of the gospel, deeper unwavering confidence in Christ and his finished work, and that I can know with certainty that his profession is genuine so that I may able to rejoice when he passes from this earth. I will be grieving, no doubt, but I can also rejoice that he is entering into eternity with Christ with a fuller confidence. I know that I have to be very careful about being anal retentive and nitpicky about the way he phrases his profession, but at the same time, I am just seeking God's blessing and having more confidence that his profession is genuine. So I appreciate your prayers. I also would ask that you pray for physical healing for him, that he may have many more years on this earth, far beyond the 6 months predicted by his earthly doctor. So thank all of you who have been praying for him and who have been contacting me asking for updates and assuring me that you are lifting up his name to the Lord's throne of grace. Also, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail using your local postal service, by all means, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and you will also receive or see on your screen a physical address where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by all means, email me a request for advertising and put advertising in the subject line at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. We are in urgent need of your finances, folks. The coronavirus pandemic hysteria has hurt us badly when it comes to giving. A lot less people are giving, and people are giving a lot less. Many people have been hurt financially very badly because of the insanity that has accompanied the coronavirus pandemic. People have lost their livelihoods or have started earning a lot less incomes. Family businesses, some of them maybe have been owned for centuries, have been shut down, all because of the insanity of the far left. So we ask of you folks to help us replenish what we lost by sending in a check today. If you've already given, even prayerfully consider giving more if you can. If you've never given, please prayerfully consider giving for the first time if you love the show. Always remember that I never want people siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. One of the foundations of the origins of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is to be, and has always been, to be a platform a friend and a helping hand and an outreach for the local church and the local pastor. We never want to harm the local church and the local pastor in any way, including financially. So please don't cut into your regular giving to your church in order to bless us financially. Also, folks, if you are really struggling to survive, don't plunge your family into further financial peril at this time by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can wait till the Lord blesses you with greater financial capability. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have plenty of money collecting interest in the bank, you have plenty of money to use for recreational purposes and trivial matters, then please, if you love this show and don't want it to disappear, please use some of that money to help us survive. We have between 30 and 40,000 people every month downloading the MP3s, the free downloadable MP3s from our website, and yet a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that number gives monthly. And I thank all of you who are among those folks. I don't want to undermine the enormous gratitude I have for that comparatively small number of people who give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You have been a blessing to me in ways I will never have the ability to adequately describe. I will never be able to tell you adequately how grateful I am to you and how grateful I am to God for you. You have been the main reason that we exist. But for those of you who love the show, are able to give and never do, please reconsider that. We really do need your help. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church, including if you live in or near Greenbrier, Tennessee, where my guest pastors Sovereign Grace Church. No matter where you live, no matter where on the globe you reside, I may be able to help you. I have helped many people all over the world in my audience find churches that they didn't know existed because I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically sound churches. I recently even had a woman in Nairobi, Kenya, find several churches that are theologically sound Reformed Baptist churches. In fact, my guest today, Mark Grimaldi, referred me to one of those churches. So please, if you don't have a biblically faithful church, or if you're going on vacation, you want to visit a biblically faithful church, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who do not have a biblically faithful church they call their home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are a pastor or a parachurch leader, if you are a man who is in leadership in the church or a parachurch ministry, I'm having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, as I mentioned before, on, the last Monday of September, Monday the 27th of September. And the featured speaker is Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. I think he's the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth. And he is my guest speaker at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday, September 27th. It's absolutely free of charge. If you would like to attend this free luncheon, again, this is for men only. So if you are a man in leadership in the church or parachurch ministry, send me an email and say, I want to attend the Pastor's Luncheon, or just say Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. It's absolutely free of charge. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Mark Grimaldi. On the pulpit is no place for cowards. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Pastor Mark, one of the most significant areas I think, where cowardice is displayed in the pulpit in the 21st century regards the sin of homosexuality. You have people, even in conservative, theologically sound churches, confessionally reformed churches, who candy coat that issue. They speak as if the sin of homosexuality merely involves victims of some phenomenon that these folks have been born with, and they will even go to the point of teaching a heresy that you can identify as a gay Christian as long as you remain chaste, or as long as you remain, as long as you marry somebody of the opposite gender, even though you would prefer not to. These kinds of things are being perpetuated in the body of Christ, even in otherwise conservative and reformed circles. We have all recoiled, well, those of us who are of like mind, have recoiled in disgust and anger hearing about the Revoice movement and other movements in reformed circles where homosexuals are being told that they do not even need to repent or believe they can be transformed from the mindset, the attraction of homosexuality, as long, as I said before, that they remain chaste. What is your opinion on the way that this issue is being approached?
Yeah, Chris, that's a very common thing today, as you said, and, you know, that's where people are going too far in their sense of maybe trying to be sympathetic and recognizing that dealing with that kind of a tendency, that kind of a lust, is certainly something that's difficult for someone who has that kind of an attraction. Not everybody would agree on whether or not somebody's born in that condition. We would say that that's not the case, that God, right, is the designer, and that's a product of the fall. We could probably, many of us could agree that could be an inclination because of the fallen nature, right? We all have inclinations, and sin affects us in different ways. Different things in life certainly can play into that, but it is a lust of the flesh, nonetheless, and it is something that is sinful in the sight of God. And so it's easy to kind of try to meet people in a way that's allegedly of compassion, who struggle in that way, and so saying that it's okay to have those kinds of feelings or even to identify as a Christian homosexual. It sounds like you're trying to meet them halfway, in a sense, maybe, and you're trying to be compassionate, but really it's dangerous because it completely just denies the identity that we have in Christ. We're not saying that people who have those inclinations will not struggle with those at times throughout the course of their lives, even as Christians, just as we, you know, can struggle with different kinds of temptations in our lives, whether it's other kinds of lusts and so on. But we're not to identify ourselves with something that God calls sin. You know, I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm a drunk Christian, or I'm a drug addict Christian, or I'm a, you know, an adulterer Christian, or, you know, I wouldn't use those terms to identify myself. Paul says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 6 that such were some of you. You know, and he mentions in that text homosexualities and a whole list of other sins. Says that such were some of you. Well, first he says, don't be deceived. Nobody who is practicing those kinds of things, nobody who is one of those by way of identity, even, he says, will enter the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed. And so to take on that identity still when in Christ, we're not to be identified with any sin, even if we're abstinent in that way, or we're holding back, or we're married. It's just completely, that's just appealing to the emotions and trying to show compassion, really, in a way that's not compassion at all. So again, we're not saying that no one, that to have those kinds of feelings as a Christian automatically means somebody's not saved. We're not saying that. We know that, again, that there are going to be struggles with the flesh and so on. But to call yourself, to identify yourself as a homosexual Christian is not biblical. It's just completely contrary to the whole idea of being born again and who we are in Christ. And that's what we need to keep our identity. It's interesting, Chris, too, as you know, and I know I'm not talking about reform per se in this sense, but that is a big issue that's really taking its toll with Christian music, right? A lot of the musicians today are letting down the guard and kind of embracing the idea that that a homosexual can be a Christian. Recently, Amy Grant, right, had just compromised on that as well. Not that that's a surprise, but she, you know, there's this lovey-dovey and the idea that God just accepts you and he's not concerned about that. And really all that comes down to a very low view of God and the ultimate reason for God doing anything that he does being for his glory. It's just a very man-centered ideology, and that's why these people, you'll see them folding even in the music realm and in the reformed realm as well. It shouldn't be something that we identify with any of our sins of the past. We don't create an identity with those things as a Christian. We're now a Christian. We're in Christ. That's what we were. That's what we were washed. We're not to identify with ourselves with that in the present.
Now, don't pastors and preachers and evangelists and even Christians in general have to be reminded, and they may in fact know this and likely do know this already, but they have to be reminded anyway, and rebuked, that this strategy is not doing a favor for the people whose feelings you are trying to spare. When you are making damnation less frightening to a homosexual or any other sinner, when you're removing the threat of damnation from the message from the pulpit, and you are salving the consciences of people who are unrepentant in their sin, you're not helping them at all. It's really an act of selfishness, isn't it? It's wanting to be liked by them, wanting to be followed by them, supported by them, wanting your message to be appreciated and accepted to the Christ-hating world around you. Perhaps on some occasions, like I believe it is with certain well-known authors and pastors, some crave the appreciation of the academic world, where it is dominated by leftists and Christ haters, and they want their scholarship and their intellect and their credentials to be honored and appreciated by these people. They're not doing anybody a favor. I mean, they're helping them right through the gates of hell, aren't they?
Yeah. Even when Paul talks about in Corinthians, and I know it's a broader context for the Paul's addressing when he talks about the idea of those who are in ministry who, you know, create their ministry out of wood, hay, and stubble, you know, that they may escape as through fire. You know, that really has to do with the those who are teachers, those who are in ministry, and really soft-pedaling the gospel in some ways. And it may be the case that some of these folks are saved, but their whole ministry, everything that they've built really doesn't make it through. It doesn't pass through, and survive God's judgment, because they've in some ways softened the truth. And so you're not doing anybody a favor. What people seem to, what we seem to fail to realize with that is that there's a fear of man there. And again, there may be good intentions in the sense of wanting to try to get people into the church in some way let's say the best intentions is you just want people to come and hear the word or something, and then it's not about finances or whatever it is, which a lot of times it is, sadly, or numbers. But the reality is it's an insult, most of all, to the character of God. You know, when you soften sin in any sense and you make it lighter than what it really is, what you're saying is God is not holy in the way that he declares himself to be in Scripture. You're diminishing his character and who he is, and you're saying that the righteous judge of all the earth is in some way flawed or less than righteous, and he will allow that. And so it really is a great insult to the integrity and the character of God when we do that. And so we may think we're helping people, but we're actually insulting God, and we're causing people to feel more comfortable in their sin, thinking that they're okay with God, when in reality they're doing the very things that God hates, things that Christ himself has suffered right on the cross for those whom he has redeemed. So it's not helping at all. Sometimes, you know, the common slogan in life that, you know, the truth hurts, and oftentimes when we discipline or we proclaim something that's painful in different ways, if it's the truth, that's a good pain. You know, that's a pain that's surgically dealing with some kind of cancer in us. And while it may, for a while, injure us in some way or feel like feel very painful, you know, we may feel the pain of that, ultimately it's for the greater good, and it should lead us to the truth and to walk rightly with God. And when we walk rightly with God and we deny those things, we turn away from those lusts rather than accept them, we actually find great joy. There's more joy in putting away those sins and seeing them for what they are, and coming to Christ and enjoying his love and who he is and our God for who he is, than there is in being able to lessen these sins and to toy with them and to think in some way that God is okay with them. We're actually distancing ourselves. So we're doing a great harm eternally and even in the present with just being able to relate to God and to enjoy fellowship with God, whose ways are better, whose ways are perfect.
We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, is it one of the most prevalent ways in which cowardice from the pulpit is displayed in our day and age, the fear of offending women and feminists in regard to the true biblical roles for women in the church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a real good question. That's a big thing that's going on, you know, in the South, even here. You know, there's a lot of things going on with different churches and some of the battles that have gone on with even amongst what we would consider good churches, and even in good, what we would consider normally good schools and institutes. I don't want to mention specifically, but even very good Reformed institutes, just today, there's really seems to be a compromise in these areas where there's an egalitarian focus on the view of women and men, more of an allowance for bringing women into ministry, you know, softening the text of the Apostle Paul and trying to use means of changing what he's saying, just like they do with homosexuality in cases where they try to change the meaning and say it doesn't mean that. That's a real common thing in reform circles and circles that we would normally be right alongside of these folks. There's a lot of compromise in the areas of the authority of women in the church and their role in the church. It's just very insulting today in our culture in general, obviously, where we are supports this, to encourage a woman even to, the blessing of being a homemaker. And again, I'm not saying a woman shouldn't, that it's sinful for a woman to work. I'm not going to that extent, but I'm saying that if you mentioned the idea of being a homemaker you know, even in the church, the idea of having a quiet, submissive spirit, not taking on those roles of leadership, it's very offensive today, not only in our culture, but even in the church. And that's what's presented in the media, and it's just everywhere around us. It's this idea of the men have to be pushed out and the women are taking this higher position, and so it's made its way into the churches. So that's a very good observation. That's definitely the case, that there's compromise in those areas.
Thank you, John, in Bangor, Maine. Keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Maine and beyond. We have another listener who chooses to remain anonymous. He says, I fear that I am in a church right now where the compromising that you are discussing and the cowardice in the pulpit is present. I am not saying this from arrogance, and I am not spreading this opinion in the congregation to friends. I am remaining silent about it for the moment and do intend to privately meet with my elders. But it is quite disturbing to me that the main issues of conflict that separate the church of the world and liberalism and leftism from true biblical Christianity are issues that never come up in the pulpit in our church. Sound theology is often heard, and it's not what is said that is a problem for me. It is what is not said. What counsel do you have as in regard to the manner with which I approach my elders?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, I would encourage the individual wrote that to do exactly what they're doing. I think to have the right mindset is to go and to talk privately with the elders and see what they say. You know, speak to them about that first, because maybe it's something that you know, as if you confront them on, they'll address it and they'll acknowledge it, or there maybe they'll have an explanation or something that's there. I don't know. It's almost hard to give counsel on this issue because I don't know the details, and I don't want to tell you to leave your church or anything like that because I don't know exactly what's involved. But I would definitely say go to them and address it with them. And if they see how they respond, if they respond in a way that would seem to be supporting, you know, that they're unwilling to address these things because they either agree with these kinds of things that are in the church, these compromises, or they don't want to make waves, you know, those kinds of things. I would definitely, you know, after speaking with them, I would, you know, maybe get more counsel, but I would consider at that point looking for a church that's going to be sound, you know, more sound and going to address those things. But I would definitely go to them first. If you see things, again, it depends on the issue. If you see them, you know, putting in women into leadership, you know, as far into the eldership, those kinds of things, if they're putting, you know, homosexuals into the membership that are not repentant, from what the individual is saying, it's not what they're saying, it's what they're not saying, so they may not be doing these kinds of things. I would say that if there is any sense of a support of those kinds of things, or a real unwillingness to address them because they don't want to rock the apple cart, so to speak, you know, I would consider, you know, looking for another place if that's the case, you know. But I would really encourage you to speak to them, to definitely go to them. Don't just leave or anything like that. Speak to them privately. Make sure you express everything on your heart. Be specific about the kinds of things that are troubling you. Pray before you go, maybe even fast before you go, and go there and interact with them and just see what their response is, and that should tell you a lot. And then even after that, you may want to get counsel from somebody on the outside as well with the specific details, the responses and stuff. So I'm hesitant to say leave unless they're actually doing things in the church that are contradictory to the truth. But if they're withholding, if they're preaching a soft gospel and things like that, that's very serious. Go to them. Talk to them.
Thank you, Anonymous. And let me know if you are a first-time questioner, because all first-time questioners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience get a free gift, a New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who always ship out our winners in our audience the Bibles and books and other things that they win by virtue of sending in questions. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot shorter than the other breaks you've heard. If you intend to send in a question, I would strongly urge you to send it in very quickly, because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Romaldi of Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, and our topic, The Pulpit is No Place for Cowards.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vodi Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti.
owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. We have a faithful listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Asheboro, North Carolina, and also a very generous financial supporter of the program, who has sent in a question. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. I would say that a man that's afraid to say, "Thus saith the Lord," from the pulpit probably didn't have the call from our God, from our Lord Jesus Christ, to be in the ministry to begin with. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good, that's a very good point. Yeah, if somebody's unwilling to proclaim the whole word of God as it stands and to say, "Thus saith the Lord," right, and quoting what's right there in the scriptures and opening up what's right there in the text, I would have very, very deep concerns about that person's call. I think that once you, if you're not called by the Holy Spirit of God, like Paul says in, to the Ephesian elders in Acts, you know, it's the Holy Spirit of God is, who has set the elders over the church as overseers, as shepherds of God's flock. If you're called by the Holy Spirit, you're going to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and you're going to be willing to do that at all costs and to just preach the truth. So I think that's a good observation. I would agree with that.
Thank you, Grady, and I'll see you at the G3 conference, God willing, in Atlanta, Georgia, this fall. We have an anonymous listener, again, who says, "I have personally witnessed in various churches to which I have once belonged that favoritism has been patently obvious when it comes to wealthy people and generous givers in the church, where they are never brought into discipline over sins they are not repenting from, and some of these folks were involved in sins that were known throughout the congregation, yet they were treated with kid gloves because the pastors did not want to lose the income that they were getting from these generous, wealthy people. Do you believe that this is a prominent sin in the church?"
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's definitely something that's there. It certainly would be a temptation that I think that people in leadership would face, especially if you have somebody who's giving a lot, let's say, and the church financially is just meeting a budget. You know, they're not excessively over the budget. There's the temptation to rely on that individual, and so I could see how that could very easily become a temptation. But we have to be faithful to God and take those risks, and if you're going to allow sin in the church just to keep the finances going in the church, ultimately it's, you'd have a greater thing to worry about is the removal of the lampstand. You know, we're accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that in my own experience and in my former church as well, which I was longer there, 16 years, I'm only here a few weeks in Tennessee, but I thank God that in my experience there, even before I was in ministry, that I've seen situations where former elders in our church took a stand in situations where they were dealing with individuals who were very affluent and very big givers in the church, but they had to take a stand. And I've witnessed that faithfulness in the past. So I'm thankful that I've had that kind of an example. But that very much can be a temptation. It's wrong. And the Lord will bring those kinds of trials to churches, especially again when the budget is struggling along, and some of those members there who are the big givers are seem to be the ones who are being used to sustain the budget. There's going to be a line to cross at that point. Are we going to trust God to provide, Jehovah Jireh, that He provides, or are we going to compromise the Lord and compromise His will and kind of ignore the sin or treat it very lightly and not deal with those who are bringing reproach to Christ? So that's a real good point. I think that is a problem. The extent of it, I don't know, but I would definitely say that that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, I can even remember confronting a fellow member years ago, a person who will remain nameless, not to continue protecting his son who was involved in unrepentant sin. And he responded to me very angrily, "Do you know how much money I give to that church?"
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Well, I think one thing that we have to leave with is to warn the seminary student or the man who aspires to be an overseer, an elder, a pastor, that they should have this courage to fear God infinitely more than men before they even enter into an office like that, should they not?
Yeah, I think that's a real something that should be urgently pressed upon anyone who is aspiring to the ministry. You have to be willing to preach in such a way that, you know, that, again, not that you would unnecessarily offend, but that you will offend, you know, that the word of God will offend. When you rightly preach it, it will offend. And you have to go against the culture, not only in the society at large, but also within the church at times. You have to take that stand and be willing to lose, you know, whatever's necessary. Maybe you'll have to leave that church at some point or whatever it is. You have to be willing to lose all and be faithful to the gospel. Just real quick, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the words that Paul gives to Timothy says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and we can say this time is certainly here, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So I would leave that with anyone aspiring to ministry, to take those words from the Apostle Paul before God and in the presence of Jesus Christ, who's going to judge the living and the dead. That's what we need to be concerned about. You preach that word and you preach it faithfully.
Amen. Well, I want to remind our listeners about the website for Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, also known as Sovereign Grace Church of White House, Tennessee. It's sovereigngracechurch.net, sovereigngracechurch.net. I urge anyone who lives in or near Greenbrier, Tennessee, to visit this congregation, because I know from personal experience what a gifted pastor they now have, since he was my pastor at one time. And if you have family, friends, and loved ones in the Greenbrier, Tennessee area, please urge them to visit this church and prayerfully consider joining it if they don't have a biblically faithful church already where they are a member. And I also want to remind you folks about the G3 conference, where I am going to be manning, once again, an exhibitor's booth in Atlanta, Georgia. And I am so looking forward to this conference, as I always am, this year from September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta. The lineup is absolutely extraordinary, mind-blowing, as far as not only the number of speakers, but the quality of the speakers. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register as soon as possible. And I look forward to seeing you there. I hope as many of you as possible will visit me at my exhibitor's booth if you are in attendance. And also, don't forget, if you are a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or any man in ministry leadership, including parachurch organizations, and you would like to attend my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which will be on Monday, September 27th in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, featuring my guest speaker, Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. Please send me an email, and I will get you all the details. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Well, Pastor Mark, I want to thank you so much for actually, at very late notice, accepting my invitation today to be my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I look forward to many returns by you to be a guest for future interviews, and send my greetings to the saints at Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee.
Thank you, Chris. It's my pleasure, brother. It's always a blessing and a pleasure for me.
I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.